Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex, the Xfinity Studio. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on this kind of rainy Tuesday. But that does not stop Chip Kelly and the Eagles from taking to the practice field. The OTAs continue this week, and then the final mini camp is held next week. It ends on Thursday, and then the Eagles, for the most part, break until training camp begins. Hello, and hope you all had a great holiday weekend, a safe, happy weekend. We're talking football today, Eagles football specifically, as this team starts to, you know, take a little shape. We had a chance last week to meet all of the coaches. Really very interesting time to speak to them, to pick their brains about what they've learned working with these players the last couple of months. Eagles having very good practices, high level of execution, tons of enthusiasm, and it's just good to see. The rain not stopping Michael Vick at all today. I thought he looked really good on the practice field. I mean, I'm Nick Foles, too. And actually, Matt Barkley, when I was watching, made the throw of the day, kind of rolling to his right and throwing over coverage to Jeremy Maclin for the completion. Who's the starting quarterback? That's what everybody wants to know. I think Bill Lazor, quarterback's coach, had it right when he said, we are looking for a championship-level quarterback. Doesn't matter what that entails. It's just time to find that guy. And that will play out. And it plays out through practices every day, watching these players, grading them as the coaching staff does every single day. So we want to take your phone calls. We've got Chip Kelly meeting the media shortly, taking a look at some of the practice footage from this kind of rainy morning. And in fact, it was rainy, flat out rainy. And Chip wanted to keep the troops out on the practice field the entire time. Good footing out there. Take a look at some of these wide receivers as we go through it on this Tuesday morning. Let's start you off with some headlines right after the boom, 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 boom. Balls are out from the quarterback group. All right. OTA is winding down for the Eagles. Yeah, so next week is the final work for them. It's a final camp, which is a full team drill Tuesday through Thursday. Coming up, at about 12:25 or so, Chip Kelly holds his press conference in the auditorium here. In just a couple of minutes, quarterback Matt Barkley stops by. We had a chance to talk to him last week. Really interesting young man, very polished. Had a good time. You'll watch that in just a moment. Tomorrow, it's a community day for the Eagles after they work on the practice field. The entire organization takes part in the Eagles Youth Partnership Playground Build. It has been a staple of the Eagles Youth Partnership since 1997. Just a tremendous day in the community, in the city of Philadelphia, for everyone in this Eagles organization. And we really enjoyed it. We'll have full coverage of that for you tomorrow. Practice update. Jason Peters, Kenny Phillips not practicing. The head coach will explain their situations. These are, remember, voluntary workouts. Participation has been extremely high the last couple of weeks. Let's begin on the telephones. An early morning out in Tucson, Arizona, PJ joins us, 215-339-6709. PJ, good morning.
Hey, Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to see this press conference.
Yeah, PJ, when's the last time you've said that you're excited to hear the coach have a press conference? But I find Chip to be, and I think fans do, he's just incredibly compelling.
Yeah, definitely a lot more eccentric than Andy was.
Yes.
You know, obviously I still watched his press conferences, but I can actually look forward to these ones, and I'm excited to see what he says about everything. Especially, I was going to ask you about Jason Peters and Kenny Phillips, but you know.
I don't have the answer. I mean, again, I don't think it's any sort of big deal or anything like that. These are voluntary. Could be personal reasons. I just don't know why they're not here. But I know their attendance has been very strong the last couple of weeks, and I think Chip obviously will address that at the very beginning of his press conference.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then something else is I've been looking at ever since the draft unfolded. I've obviously been really excited about, you know, seeing everybody get on the field. I know the whole thing is going on with Lane Johnson, if Dennis Kelly's getting reps in front of whatever. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Jordan Poyer get a shot when he finishes with graduation and all that.
It's going to be very interesting to see how Poyer and Ertz, how they pick up the time that they've missed. I mean, they're never going to get that back, PJ. But I know that they're smart kids. They had a very good first weekend. I heard a lot of good things about both of those players. And, I mean, look, I think the Eagles are counting on both, right? Ertz as one of these many tight ends on the roster, somebody who's athletic, who can make plays. And then, well, I think when you look at the defensive back situation, there are legitimate questions, and maybe Poyer can come in and help right away. He's got a chance to do so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, Earl Wolf, I think, is going to make a big contribution. And I'm just really psyched. I can't tell you how excited I am, man.
I know.
Training camp to be here.
PJ, thanks for the call. I love the enthusiasm from Tucson, Arizona. Everybody feels it here, too. And, you know, there's this sense of what is this team all about. We don't know. I can't sit here and tell you. There's so many new pieces. We're seeing the early part of that come together, and that's what's exciting, seeing the early part of the program, the foundation coming into place. In fact, one of the highlights today during the period where the cameras were not permitted on the field, we had three equipment managers on the field acting as defensive linemen wearing shoulder pads with these big waffle-shaped things up here. And then Michael Vick's dropping back. These are used to block vision. So Michael's got to move and create passing lanes. We've talked about that for so long, right? You got to move your feet to create the passing lanes. And obviously that's a point of emphasis with the coaching staff to the quarterback group. Don't let the big hands get up there and knock your passes down. We take a break now. When we come back, quarterback Matt Barkley joins us in studio. And in just a short time, Chip Kelly at the podium. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us here. We're coming right back on Eagles Live in just a moment.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles quarterback Matt Barkley. We welcome you into our spacious abode here.
I love it.
How's life as a Philadelphia Eagle?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love being part of this community, this franchise. I mean, these teammates and coaches are the best I've been a part of. And I've yet to really dive into the city to see what it all has to open.
City, right.
But I'm looking forward to once I get some free time to really explore it.
You know, I don't know you, Matt, but you seem to be so unfazed by the whole experience. Is that an accurate case, or are you like the on the surface, cool, calm, and collected, and then underneath, flapping the
time? What you see is what you get. Yeah. And I think naturally, as a quarterback, you learn to be composed, and you learn to take everything in stride and to handle your emotions in an appropriate way. And so it probably just stems from my history of playing this game for so long and kind of knowing how to handle it professionally.
How old were you when you signed your first autograph?
First autograph was probably in high school, my sophomore, junior year.
Did you practice it after that?
Let's just say it's changed a lot since then.
First interview, how old were you when you did that?
Probably around the same time. Okay. I think my sophomore year of high school, I did a TV interview.
So all of that preparation through high school, going to USC, being a starter for 4 years, has certainly paid off handling everything around you, which can be overwhelming to some guys.
Yeah, and a lot of it I've learned just through experience. And Some things were not so great that I learned how to tweak or how to answer certain questions or how to, you know, show myself and show myself to the media. And I never, you know, playing football, you probably read that I've always been a starter.
Yep.
And so I never really had someone to look up to as to how it's supposed to be done. And so my parents have helped a lot just in terms of kind of being, I guess, a PR director for me and making me practice in front of the mirror and ask questions to myself, always be thinking about what you might be talking about.
You are, I mean, in a sense, Matt, right now, you're one of the guys. I mean, you're competing for a roster spot. You're competing for play. What's that experience like, having been, you know, the star guy for your whole life?
It's been a while since that's the mentality of the team. And I like to picture myself as always competing with myself to try to make myself a better quarterback. Mm-hmm. But now you add the fact that there are other players competing for that same position and trying to take your starting job. And so I think it just elevates everyone in the quarterback room here with the Eagles to play better and to challenge each other to make better plays and to try to outdo each other.
Is everyone helping each other in this sense?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, everyone's out for themselves. I mean, that's the nature of human and it's the nature of sports. And at the same time, we are helping each other with it's a new offense to us all. So, I mean, Dennis is kind of used to it just in terms of the footwork and how to handle, the run schemes and certain checks on each play. But besides that, we're all kind of collaborating in terms of how we progress with this offense.
How are you producing, Matt? How do you feel like you're on a day-to-day basis? And I know they grade every nuance of the game. How do you think you're doing?
I feel like I'm getting better. And you always, you know, even when you do make a mistake, it's how many times can you eliminate that reoccurring. You know, you want to make that mistake, but you learn from it, and then you realize you don't make that again. So when it comes around the next time, you improve on that. And I think I've been doing that. I mean, inevitably there are going to be times when there's new things that you see, and it's a new offense, it's a new read, something you're not used to, so you do make a mistake. But you try to eliminate those as much as possible.
In a sense, the way they ask you to throw the football, release point, footwork, is it a lot different than what you've experienced?
Not really. I mean, most of the run game is pretty different, but all the concepts are similar. It's the whole philosophy is really the same, and I think just establishing a different rhythm with your drop is what's been the most challenging. And I mean, throwing the ball on timing routes and whatnot, it's all the same. So you just have to almost retrain your mind in certain areas.
You've had a fascinating journey to get here, and I know there's many more steps to go through before you become what you know you will become. I grew up loving USC. So many people did. I would like to ask you this question because I'm a little jock sniffing here, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. What was it like being the USC quarterback for 4 years? I mean, that's such a glamorous position.
It really was a dream come true, and it's what I wanted to do when I was a little kid. And
yeah.
I think there's even video of me saying I wanted to play there when I was 5 years old or whatnot. And so to actually live that out and to play football there and, you know, in front of my hometown or whatnot, it was special. And with the talent we had and the games we won and whatnot, my journey was maybe not the typical USC quarterback journey, but what I learned along the way, I think, set me up to do very well, you know, in the NFL and in Philadelphia.
Do you walk through the hallways when you get there and see there's Anthony Davis and there's John Robinson and there's the national championship trophy and all that stuff? Is it a
trophies?
Yeah,
history is really unbelievable.
Yeah.
And when you look at the past players who have played there and the precedent that they set, knowing you're stepping into their shoes, it's a humbling feeling knowing you're representing them and the tradition and history of, I mean, across the board, offense and defense, almost every single position, Hall of Famers, NFL greats, let alone the college level. So,
do you have a room of clippings that your parents have kept through the years, or trophies that you've earned, or moments that you will cherish forever in your house?
No, there's not a room. There's one little, just almost like a tiny bookshelf that it's just pretty much a place for storage.
Really?
Not in any way
you're not a nostalgic guy. I guess you can't be. You're only 22 years old.
No, I don't like it. And my parents, you know, they'll support me in everything, but they don't glorify it.
Yeah.
And they don't,
that's cool.
They don't let me glorify it.
Well,
that's
why you've kept such a feet to the ground kind
probably
of mentality.
Yeah.
Let's when you're not here, Matt, we see you every day. You're working hard. What are you doing when you're away from the NovaCare complex?
Driving to the airport to stay at the Marriott Hotel.
Yeah, it's a glamorous life, right?
Yeah, I've looked a little around for places to live, so I've gotten to see some parts of the city, but not a whole lot. I'm pretty much here 14 hours a day. So,
do you have a timeline of where you want to be in your career?
I have goals. Mm-hmm. I definitely have goals, and there's still a lot of unknowns as to what's going to happen, even this summer or this fall. My short-term goals, I think, are the most important. But ultimately, you want to be a long-term professional athlete in the NFL. Yeah.
And the day we talked, you were kind enough to join us on the air the day of the draft, and you were very energized by the idea of joining this offense and joining this organization. Mm-hmm. Has it lived up to the expectation?
Absolutely.
Good.
And everything Coach Kelly's been doing, I mean, we just had a meeting with a man who's worked with the military in choosing and selecting special operations soldiers and personnel. And so he goes through the whole process of selecting their mental capacity, their mental toughness, their decision-making. And I didn't realize he was actually in my meeting that I had with the staff in Indianapolis at the combine.
Oh, so they snuck it in.
And so and then on top of all of the strength and conditioning, some of it's unconventional, but it seems to be working, and all the sleep aspects that he focuses on, the nutrition, the hydration, it's across the board. It seems like he's really trying to maximize all his athletes.
Are you a better quarterback now than you've ever been in your life?
I think so, but I think knowledge really allows you to play fast as a quarterback and to play at a high level. And I don't think I've reached the point at all where I can make decisions like that, because this offense is so new and there's so much to it that's a process that will come.
Okay.
And by September 9th, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, you'll get it down that? You think mentally you will have it all down where it's just go see
I think I'll be able to run it smoothly. Cool. And I always think you'll be progressing. I think you always should be progressing. But come that time, I think you should be able to.
Who's the best quarterback you've ever studied, if in fact you've studied quarterbacks?
Yeah, I love it's kind of a throw-up, I think, between Peyton, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees.
Okay.
And they all have their different strengths, all have similar but different offenses even that they run. But I love watching them, just how they move in the pocket, how their feet are always ready to go. You can always learn something when you watch them.
Great. Hey, man, thanks.
Thanks
nice
so much.
Nice to meet you. Matt, we look forward to getting to know you more and more as the days go by here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Matt Barkley in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
In a smart world, smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Bill McGovern, outside linebacker coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you here. Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach, will be available to the media in the auditorium here in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned for that. Also, the Matt Barkley interview available on demand on the app. And if you haven't downloaded the app, shame on you. Make sure you do so, and available, obviously, on the homepage on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Right after the show. Dave Spadaro with you. Take a couple phone calls before we get to the head coach. Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Justin, who joins us. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Good. I'm just going to be really quick.
No worries.
I met Chris McPherson last year at the Giants game, and I just want to say he was one of the nicest people in the world, and I think you guys do a great job with what you do.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate what you guys do, and especially you and Twitter. And you have our support from Jersey, so go Eagles.
You got it, man. Hey, that's the kind of phone call I like. But no football talk? No, clearly no football talk. But thanks, Justin. And listen, the reason we do it is because you great fans. You tune in all the time. You can't get enough of this Eagles football team. And I know that the questions on everybody's mind is, how's this player looking? How's that player looking? Who's running with the ones? Who's going to start at this position, that position, that position? I thought Michael Vick looked great this morning. I mean, probably better than I'd seen him. I thought Nick Foles played well today. I think Michael was outstanding. Matt, as I said earlier, Matt Barkley made the best throw that I saw this morning. I wasn't there for the entire practice. I think the quarterbacks are handling it well. What I notice is they're getting the football out very, very quickly. And that's the big difference. Very quickly. All right, Chuck in Bethlehem joins us before we get to Chip Kelly. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
No problem. I was just calling. I don't really have football talk. I mean, because I really don't know what to expect with Chip Kelly and the new team. But
I'm waiting. Chuck, I agree. I think everybody's in the same boat. How can you possibly know?
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to call about was, I just wanted to say that I feel pretty bad that the Eagles have, I'm calling from Bethlehem, so guess what I'm calling about?
Training camp.
I just wish that, I wish that they would not have taken training camp like they have and brought it back. I know that they're probably saving money and everything else, but even if they moved it away from Bethlehem and it was still as intimate as it was in the past, but there's no way that you can get as close to the Eagles in the future at the link as you could at training camp. And it just takes a little bit away from my family's experience.
And very sympathetic to that, understand that. I agree, the training camp was really special up at Bethlehem. The Eagles are obviously planning to have public practices at Lincoln Financial Field. Those dates will be announced as soon as everything is finalized. And I think the Eagles really wrestled with the decision. Great relationship with the Lehigh Valley for many, many years. But look, this is a new coaching staff. This is what everybody here wants to do, and it's ultimately about winning football games, and the fans will be part of the experience in a very prominent way when we get over to Lincoln Financial Field.
Well, I hope so. But anyway, you do a great job, and thanks for letting the kids post for a picture on your stage at the end of training camp last year.
Have a great day. Hey, thank you so much, Chuck. Yeah, and met many, many Eagles fans. Hopefully we'll meet many, many Eagles fans when we are at Lincoln Financial Field. I know fans will plan to make their pilgrimage to the Philadelphia area for training camp. It will be spectacular, and you're going to really enjoy watching training camp at Lincoln Financial Field. Now, that said, get ready for a different kind of experience, all right? It's not going to be on the sidelines of a grass field. It's going to be on the sidelines of a grass field. It's a stadium. And there's going to be some music. There's going to be some fun. There's going to be some environment. The pace is going to be a lot faster. I personally think everybody's going to really enjoy it. And those details will be coming along as soon as the Eagles have everything finalized, have all the information that you need, and can get it to you in a coherent, easy-to-follow manner. All right? So let's do that. All right, let's take a quick one before we get to Chip. Mike in Washington, D.C. joins us. Hey, Mike.
How you doing? How you doing, Dave?
Good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm loving what I'm hearing.
Good.
But I got a theory I want to run by you real quick.
All right.
I have a feeling that if Kenny Phillips is healthy, that they could be a very, very good defensive backfield.
Yeah, that's listen. It's not just Kenny. It's Patrick Chung, who's coming off some injuries that he had in New England. Kenny Phillips, a first round player, 1 year contract, has a lot to prove. You know, listen, as you know, at his best, he's a tremendous safety, right? Tremendous.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are looking for playmakers back there. I find the whole – I wrote about this last week and posted it yesterday – that I find this whole defensive backfield so interesting. I mean, you're talking about taking every piece of the cornerback position and the safety spots and potentially changing them out and then hoping that all of that communication comes together in a short period of time – and that they're better than they were last year. That's a tall task.
Last year, it was embarrassing because they couldn't cover or tackle. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Agreed. But it was weird, the weird part of it. I mean, Mike, early in the season, the secondary was terrific against Cleveland, outstanding. Against the Steelers, they were good. Against the Giants, they were good. Against the Ravens, pretty good. Then it all just fell apart. Three quarters of the game against Detroit, very good effort. And then Juan Castillo leaves, and everything just fell apart until that last game against the Giants, which was just inexcusable.
Well, just one last thing. I think in terms of size and speed, Curtis Marsh shows up. If he shows up, they really have something special. And, I just want to thank you for the time. I appreciate
thank
the
you.
Program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call. Curtis Marsh, interesting player. Has the size, is rangy, a former running back, a little bit stiff, learning the position, works really hard, not afraid to mix it up. You know, it's all there physically. It's just a matter of, is he a cornerback? Is he a cornerback at this level? Can he get out of his back pedal? Can he close? You know, can he use his strength? And I think the Eagles would like to see their cornerbacks in some press situations. He's got the strength. He's got the build for it. Third year in the NFL, it kind of make or break for Curtis Marsh to find out if he's going to be a major player at the cornerback position for the Eagles. And I can't tell you. I mean, again, Bradley Fletcher looks like he's pretty good out there. Kerry Williams, saw him in Baltimore, terrific. Behind them, Brandon Hughes, Brandon Boykin, Curtis Marsh, Brandon Poyer, Trevard Lindley, Eddie Whitley. Young, unproven. Asking a lot of this secondary. And it may not be that the Eagles can fix the secondary in one offseason sweep of personnel. You know, they think they've gotten a lot better up front. Think they've gotten a lot better on the back end. Now you got to fit it all together. And they want to be aggressive. And they want to be multiple. And they want to keep offenses off balance. So that's asking a lot with a lot of new faces in place. All right, we're going to go over to the auditorium here. Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach, coming off a soggy practice field, ready to meet the media.
Play fire. Questions?
Yep.
I can't elaborate, no, but I know he's not. We know where he is and know what's going on, so.
Be here the rest of this week and back for minicamp next week.
Yeah, I expect him here shortly.
And was he wasn't here on Monday last week because of the
wasn't here last week either.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Is this an excused absence in your view?
There's no excuse because it's voluntary, so that terminology is not allowed. So.
How much would you rather he be here?
No, I understand exactly where Jason is. So.
As you're trying to put together everything and install stuff, how much would you like, even though it's voluntary, to have everyone here so you guys?
We've had everybody here besides Jay, so we're good.
Not injury-related, though, or can we at least...
No, it's not injury-related.
Coach, can you talk about the decision to have practice outside, steady rain, and kind of what went into that or anything?
I think football's played outside, so. And last time I checked the link, we don't have a dome, so. I mean, it rained a little bit. I know it may have been a little inconvenient for you guys, and I do apologize for that. But, I mean, I think we got to practice. It wasn't like we had a hurricane or anything like that, so.
Pretty much business as usual now that this... whatever the weather is, you guys are going to be outside.
It just, you know, we need to get a lot accomplished. We don't have a big indoor facility, so, you know, there's a lot of things. You can't practice special teams like that, so, you know, if we can be outside, we're going to be outside. We got to play outside, so we got to get used to it. I got to look at the schedule exact, but I don't think we have any dome games, so we got to get used to playing and when the sun's out or the sun's not out, so.
There was one other guy, Phillips.
Kenny's here.
Kenny was here, okay. He was down on the field.
He wasn't in the room. He's with the trainers.
Was that a precaution because of the knee that you don't want to run out from the weather?
Talk to Paduzzi now. It's got nothing to do with the weather.
Okay. How much can the working in the rain? In the past, Andy Reid probably would have had the guys inside, finding other ways to go inside. How much can practicing in the rain with these kind of conditions, as you've done with other things around here since you've been here, help these guys when it comes to game time, preparing, working in the, you know, different conditions?
I mean, I just think, I don't know what went on in the past, but I know you got to practice in it if you're going to play in it. So, you know, we've always felt that unless it's just so bad that you can't be productive. But, you know, we had some guys slipping and sliding a little bit. They got to learn to stay on their feet in those situations. So, it's, you know, we felt it was good work to go outside today. So,
clear, you said Kenny is okay? He's not?
I said Kenny's here.
Oh, Kenny's
here.
He
was in the training room.
Okay, so
he wasn't on the field.
Does he have an injury?
Yeah, he's had an injury for a couple years now.
Okay, so, is the knee
that? Yeah.
Okay. Is he have a setback on that?
I don't ask questions. They just tell me who's going, who's not going, so.
You can, Chris, or can we talk, ask him about the knee?
I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is, but I'm not a doctor. They just tell me who's practicing, who's not practicing. So.
Jim, when you reviewed last year's tape, what did you see out of Michael Kendricks, and what's his skill set here?
I think Michael's an athletic, real physical linebacker, but his biggest attribute is his athleticism. You know, he's a three-down linebacker. He doesn't have to come off the field in third down. He excels in pass coverage, but he's also physical enough to play on first and second down. You know, he's one of the more athletic linebackers in this league, so you're really excited about, you know, his future and what he can do. He can do everything we ask him to do. So,
when teams motion tight ends and other guys, is he kind of a, could he be a defensive answer to some of those matchup problems?
I mean, I think he matches up well with people. I don't know if it has to do with motion or not motion, but I know he's got a great coverage ability in terms of what he can do and who he can match up with. So,
it looked like you had Barbre in there with the first team instead of Danny. I mean, is there anything that you can say about that, or are you just rotating?
No, we're just rolling guys. You know, there's first group, second group, just rolling people through. So I know Dennis played some left side today. So, you know, Stout's just rolling guys through, and we're getting a look at them. And, you know, again, just like I said the last time we talked about it, I wouldn't make too much about it, who was playing with the first group, who's playing with the second group. So
you showed some unbalanced formations on the line there. Is that something you did at Oregon?
No. There's certain rules in this league that govern how you can be unbalanced and not unbalanced, and that's a lot different than college. So,
how do you think Matt Barkley has started to pick up the offense? And, you know, I know it's maybe more of a learning curve with rookies.
Matt's done a great job. You know, he's a real student of the game. Had a great background to begin with. You know, started every game in high school and in college. So his experience that he came in here with is probably, I don't know if anybody's ever done that, you know, in terms of, you know, having that much experience coming in as a rookie. But a real student of the game, does a great job of, you know, grasping concepts and understanding what we're trying to do, not just what the receivers are running for routes. And I think that's kind of sometimes with a rookie, there's just what routes are they running, I'm going to throw the ball. Matt does a great job of just understanding the overall concept that's being run. And then being able to kind of change, you know, he may have done this before in the past, but now put it into our terminology and process things. And I think he's done a great job. And, you know, his work ethic in terms of being here early every day, studying tape and doing those things, I think have helped him. You know, and I think there's a reason why he started every game in high school and every game in college, because he was prepared for it. And I think, you know, when you're around him, you understand that. It's not just he's so much more gifted than anybody else. It's really how hard he works at the game. A lot of fun to be around, a lot of fun to coach.
Seems like Matt is frequently getting guys, backs and tight ends lined up or moving around, maybe even more so than the other guys. Is that because he's with a lot of guys who are new here and still learning?
Yeah, I think he's got most of the young guys in when he gets in, so sometimes. And they're judged on, you know, if the back runs a wrong route, you know, that's tough for you as a quarterback when you expect him to be somewhere. So, you know, I think if you watch Dennis is doing that a lot, usually it's the guys who got the younger guys with them. They're getting those guys lined up. And it's understandable. Like Will Shaw just got here last week, so, you know, trying to have him figure out exactly what we're doing. And we added a lot today. Today was a big, big insertion day for us. There was a lot of new that went in today by design. So it was, you know, we're starting to pile on now especially for some of these young guys, that piling on process, if he just got here after the draft is, you know, you can hit a wall a little bit, but they got to fight their way through it, so.
What about the benefit of using those, I guess, fly swatters? I don't know, what do you guys call those? They were, you had the helpers wearing them on their shoulders.
Simulates a pass rush. You know, so you got when you're in 7-on-7, obviously you got to throw through lanes. So we made those and we were at Oregon. It just gives us an opportunity to, you know, it's the exact height of a 6'4 defensive lineman with his hands up. So you can't throw over everybody. So you have to throw through throwing lanes, and it's the best way we can simulate that. So.
Majority of pass plays in your offense are designed to go through lanes, and whereas it wouldn't affect the quarterback, no matter his size, much about how much he has to throw over.
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
No, okay. So you're not always throwing in lanes.
No, we're just trying to, how can you get in 7-on-7 without a pass rush and simulate the passing lanes that you got to throw the football through? I think quarterbacks get very comfortable just dumping the ball, but I mean, if you've got a you know, 6'7", 6'8", offensive lineman in front of you, you're not going to be able to do that. You got Dennis Kelly playing over there at left tackle. Whether the defensive lineman has his hands up or not, you're not going to throw it over Dennis Kelly. So you need to be able to throw it through lanes. But that's something that I think everybody understands. And in 7-on-7, you can get into some habits of just dumping the ball down low, but not realizing that there's an offensive and defensive line there. So we came up with that a couple of years ago at Oregon just to make sure our guys understand that there are rush lanes and we got to throw the ball through the lanes. And very rarely, no matter what type of route you're throwing that's in over the ball, are you going to throw that over the top of people. If you do, it's going to sail. So.
Is 6'4" the average height of a – or did you just kind of arbitrarily?
Yeah, that's what we looked at. So.
Danny Watkins is a former first-round draft pick, and I think he struggled a little bit to live up to those expectations that come with that. Coming in here, do you sit him down? Do you talk to him and say, you know, forget the past, just go forward? Don't carry that burden of living up to that with him.
No, I have no expectations of anybody. And when I got here, on January 16th, it didn't matter to me if you were a first-round pick or you were an undrafted free agent. It's about putting the best team on the field. So, you know, where they got picked in the past or those things, it was a clean slate with us coming in. It's a clean slate with him. So,
that how is he doing? How is he progressing? Where do you think what he needs to work on? What he's doing well?
I think like everybody, they need to work on acclimating themselves to our offense and getting an understanding of what we're trying to do. But there's no one right now that I can say, hey, he's got it, he's good. So you know, let's just chalk him off and then move on to see the next one. I think everybody's trying to improve every day when we're out here. Everybody's trying to get a little bit of better understanding. And then once you know what to do, then you get into the real technical aspects of exactly how am I going to do that? How far am I going to step with my right foot? How far am I going to step with my left foot? You know, now that I've kind of got the how part, now really the what part is what I think most of our guys are working on. But today was a new insertion day for us, so there was a lot of things that went in new today, and it was the first time any of them heard it. So, you know, it's an ongoing process, but I think like anybody, Danny, or if you ask me about any other player, what do they have to work on? They got to work on everything. You know, we still got a ways to go.
Specifically, is he still raw, or what do you see there from him specifically?
I think he's got an athleticism to play offensive line. He's a physical guy. He can really move people with his hands. But again, one of the biggest problems we have in this whole deal is we don't have pads on. So for me to make an assessment of this guy's this or this guy's that, I have no idea. You know, there's a lot of guys that look great when you run around shorts and t-shirts, but then when you put the pads on and start getting physical and trying to knock people off the ball, you know, a lot of guys all of a sudden that you weren't counting on say, holy smokes, look what he's doing. You know, so I think all of us and on our coaching staff have been around for a long time, or we can't put all of our assessments into what's gone on in the last couple of weeks, and we really won't know anything, especially with offensive and defensive linemen, until you get to put the pads on, until you get into some preseason games and then find out, because it's a physical game. We're going to be a physical football team, and we're going to find that out when we have the big boy pads on. And right now, you know, bound by the rules that we're in right now, we don't have that. So it's right now it's what are you doing and how are you doing it and really working on technique. But there's a lot of things that go on out there where our D-line and O-line are cooperating really, really well together, because it's hard. If not, you know, we would just have a skirmish every play. And it's, you know, our guys understand that. I think the biggest burden right now is on the defensive linemen. You know, I know they could shock the offensive linemen coming off the ball, but we don't have pads on. So there's a certain amount of cooperation that's going on. So from an evaluation standpoint, it's really difficult to say where a guy is totally, especially at those positions, just because you don't really know until we get going and start to really do the physical part of what we need to do to prepare here. So
two more questions.
We haven't told that James Casey's going to be ready to go.
I haven't. So I would imagine they said by camp. So I don't think he'll fit. He's not going to go during OTAs or the mini camp next week. You know, he just got operated on a couple days ago. So, but we anticipate full recovery and be ready by training camp. So,
is one of the quarterbacks, Vic Foles, is one of them starting to emerge more like a number one guy? What have you seen?
We haven't had those discussions. It's just, can we get a ton of reps, get him on tape? That will go all the way through training camp and whatnot. When you have to make a real important decision on who the starter is going to be at some position, I don't think it's – why should we jump to conclusions? You know, why do we need to name a starting quarterback in May? I mean, we're gonna take the full amount of time that we have to make a thorough evaluation of what we do. And when you make big decisions like that, I don't think you want to make a rash decision. You want to give everybody the opportunity to see what they do. So right now we haven't done a thing in front of officials. You know, we haven't done – anything except we had 3 days of voluntary minicamp before the draft, and then I think today was our seventh OTA. So, you know, none of us have any thoughts on, hey, we got to get a guy named by a certain point in time. It's, you know, it'll play itself out, but it'll play itself out over the course of time where we've had the opportunity to make a real thorough evaluation. It is a big decision. And I think when you're going to make a big decision, you better take your time making a big decision and let it play itself out on the field. So we're not looking at it like that. They rotate on a daily basis. You know, Billy will tell them who's starting in each group, and then we're just going out and playing. So.
Harry Williams behind. He's missed some time here. Is he?
He was back last week. You know, obviously got married, and I think he did a great job of kind of playing catch up. I don't know. I couldn't tell you exactly where he is, Les, but he did miss a good amount of insertion when we were in phase two, and then in that first week of OTAs. But I think where he's a sharp kid. Really gets football really, really quickly. So it's just a matter of Coach Lovett and T. Light getting those guys up to speed over there. But, you know, I think he's starting to feel a little bit more comfortable out there.
Thanks. Head coach Chip Kelly, and he meets the media there. A couple things there. Kenny Phillips not practicing. Evan Mathis, Chris McCoy, James Casey not practicing with some injuries. Nothing sounds overly serious. And it's interesting, you know, Chip, he's got this ribbon, go, 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 fast, 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 fast. Taking the exact right approach, patience, thorough, evaluating as he goes along. No need to name a starter at this point in time. We open up to some phone calls on the other side, 215-339-6709, the number. Just big audience out there. Let's hear from you. What do you think of Chip Kelly thus far? What do you like what you hear? What do you want to hear next? 215-339-6709. Dave Spadaro with you. Coming right back on Eagles Live in just a moment.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
All right, we've heard from Chip Kelly here on Eagles Live, and I find him just tremendously interesting. I wonder how you guys feel. So let's take some phone calls and find out how Eagles fans feel about Chip, what he said, what you want him to say, and where you think the Eagles are as they continue through the OTA process here in late May. Long way to go, but you know what? Think about it, not that long to go before the beginning of the regular season. Let's go to Tampa and talk to Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
How are you, sir?
I am doing excellent. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
That's good. As for Chip Kelly, I mean, I really honestly feel that his game plan is very, very neat and organized. Just knowing how he is, these upcoming interviews that he's been doing, and since January, he's been pretty much kept everything on hush-hush,
yeah.
Which is good. Like, I want it to be under the radar. At the same time, it still gets a buzz throughout the league that we are, like, the most intriguing team that everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see Chip Kelly and how his Oregon offense is going to come out this year. Yeah. And with the amount of plays that he's saying that he's going to run, which is basically almost, like, 85 or so all in one time, everybody's, like, very excited to see that because nobody had ever seen that, especially coming from a collegiate background as he is, and I feel like everything that he's doing is for a purpose.
Absolutely.
Come September, so like once September comes around, we're all going to see what the whole year what he was planning on.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. I mean, it's interesting because Jamie, thank you. I've read descriptions of practice as what's going on out there, mayhem. It's not. It's very, very organized. It's choreographed tremendously. You know, the coaches have run through this long before the players got out there. And even though it's fast-paced, there's not a lot of, there's just not much wasted energy. Players get in and out of their reps. They're on the practice field. They're working hard. The coaches are seeing a lot of them. So, I mean, I don't get any sense of chaos. And I agree with you, Jamie. Very orchestrated, very organized, extremely precise. And at this point, they just want to see Nick Foles throw as many passes as he can throw and Michael Vick throw as many passes as he can throw and Matt Barkley and Dennis Dixon and G.J. Kinney and everyone. How does this offense work? Chip is really involved in the practice. But I think it's a lot of fun. All right, in North Carolina we go. It's Damon who joins us. Hey, Damon.
Hey, Dave Spadaro.
Yo, welcome.
Oh, how are you? Did Ron Jaworski call you Spuds one time? Or
that has been one of the many things people have called me over my lifetime. Spud, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been calling you Spuds because I watched the web program all the time. And I'm like, okay. Spuds.
All right, that's me.
I'm a huge Eagles fan. And I just want to say, like, last season, I thought a lot of the problem, the Eagles' problem was with Coach Reed. Coach Reed was throwing the football all the time, and this is what I love about Chip Kelly. He's going to run the football, and he's going to have the defenses leaning in the wrong direction. They're going the other way.
Ideally, now, but Damon, here's the thing. As great as that sounds, and thank you very much for the phone call, as great as that sounds, and as we all think that there's going to be a lot of run, how do we really know that? I mean, I guess Chip in this short period of time has convinced me so much that I don't want to put any limits on what he's going to do. I don't want to put his thought process in a box at all. I mean, who's to say they're not going to throw the football a lot? I think what Chip, his goal is that the Eagles offensively can do it any which way they desire. I mean, that's the goal, to not be known as a run team, not to be known as a pass team. Yeah, get the ball into the hands of number 25, but also don't ignore Bryce Brown and DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and Celek and KC, et cetera, et cetera. When I watch practice, I see a lot of runs. I see a lot of throws. I see a very, very balanced multiple wide open formations, preferably, you know, favorable matchups, but I don't know what to expect. I'm seeing, you know, one practice a week. So the sense of anticipation for me, anyways, is off the charts because I don't know what to expect. I know I'm really excited about it, though. All right, let's go to D.C. and talk to Mikey. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Just excited about this year coming up. I only have one little issue about our team.
Bring it on.
The only issue is, why are we playing in grass or even turf grass? Why are we not playing in regular turf? I've been trying to get that for the past, what, 2-3 years?
So the point is, what, you can't play in grass?
No. Why do we? We have fast players out there.
Well,
we can take advantage of our speed and play in turf. If you notice, every game we play in the turf and away games,
we seem
like the fastest team.
I will say this. I think when the stadium was built, I remember Joe Banner talking about this, that they talked to players. The feeling among players was that, you know, it's much better for them. They change out the field, you know, at least once a year. The turf, the grass is in great shape. It plays fast. And both teams have to play in it, Mikey.
Yeah, but have you noticed the last, 8-7 games of the season? It looks exactly like FedEx Field.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't play that way at all.
I know what known is that.
It doesn't play because it's not true. Now, there's certain parts of it certainly that are worn, but they change it out late in the season.
The only best times I like watching the Eagles at home is the first 3 weeks. Other than that, it's terrible. They're always slipping, falling. They can't get off their snap. They look slow, basically.
Well,
that's what really ticks me off, because we have fast players out there, and we should be taking advantage of
others' feet.
Mikey,
only the first 3 weeks is the best part of watching a game in Philadelphia. That's
well,
it.
Listen, I mean, again, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it. It's a new angle. I think there's grass on the field. There's grass on a lot of fields. I don't think it slows down a lot of teams. I don't think it slows down, you know, the Green Bay Packers from being a fast team, or the Arizona Cardinals from being a fast team, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from being, you know, if you're fast, you're fast. The field's in great shape, and I think the Eagles do a wonderful job maintaining it throughout the football season. That's just the way I look at it. All right, we take a little break here. When we return, we are going to wrap things up, find out what's going on in the practice field, some player interviews maybe, possibly, and a couple of phone calls to wrap it up on this Tuesday here at the NovaCare Complex. OTA is continuing through this week, and then Tuesday through Thursday of next week, we are in the final camp, full team camp, prior to training camp. It's almost here, people. It's getting here. Can you feel that excitement? Dave Spadaro with you, coming right back on Eagles Live in just a moment.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
All right, welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Reminder, tomorrow, Eagles, they will have practice, and then the entire organization spends a day out in the community building a playground. Eagles Youth Partnership, once again, delivering in a big way. And this is an entire organizational effort. It's truly one of the great days of the year as everybody comes together side by side, transforming an urban blighted school that is just made into a playground, an oasis for kids, and we've been doing it for a long, long time. It is just a really special day, so make sure you join in the celebration with us. Complete coverage here and throughout all of our Eagles channels. Also, the NFL has finalized its draft coverage. It's May 8th to the 10th next year. So a new date for the draft. I'm not sure how NFL personnel people feel about that. A couple of more weeks of preparation for the draft. A couple of more weeks of hype building for the draft. Free agency starts a little bit later as well. You hope your team's going late. And when I say your team, the Philadelphia Eagles going late into the playoffs, or else it could be a very, very long offseason for all. Lane Johnson coming along with the Philadelphia Eagles. He is obviously a first-round draft pick, learning the ropes, new head coach, new offensive lineman, new way of living for Lane Johnson. So I believe we have him. We have him ready yet? Yeah, let's go to Lane Johnson, first-round draft pick, giving an update after practice this morning. A little rainy out there. Lane likes where he is in his learning process.
So working with the first team today, feel any different?
Not really. Just come out here and do the same thing over and over again. I mean, just line up against different guys. It's pretty much the same deal.
Playing next to Todd, did he help you at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and Todd communicate pretty good, so he makes it a lot easier for me. We're out there making calls.
Did you enjoy playing out in the rain today?
Yeah, at least it's not 90 degrees, which is going to be tomorrow, so it's a blessing today.
Do you feel like you've taken a step forward over the last couple of weeks from when you first got here?
Yeah, I feel I definitely progressed. Just learning the playbook and being more comfortable where you're not thinking as much and you're just playing and reacting.
Any changes technique-wise?
Trying to use my hands more, try to, you know, not grabbing and more, be more forceful in my hands, punching.
So is it a big change? I mean, have you noticed a change with regards to going against these pros, these guys seasoned?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've been playing a lot, so they have a lot of moves up their sleeves, and sometimes they'll break it out when you least expect it. So you've got to be disciplined, you know, with your technique, and that's pretty much what it is.
And so you see the rain comes down, and it doesn't bother Lane Johnson, who takes some reps with the starters on Tuesday. Hey, got to earn it. You got to earn it. That's the whole mantra here. And Lane Johnson getting more and more comfortable with what Coach Stoutland is teaching, taking some reps with the ones. But again, as Chip says, really doesn't matter in May. Everybody working in together and just improving collectively. All right, Dave Spadaro with you. We are going to wrap things up now. Make sure you stay tuned. Tonight, Eagles update comes your way. And then tomorrow, we've got complete coverage of the playground build with Eagles Youth Partnership. The entire Eagles organization, once again, going out into the community to make a difference. And obviously, that is what means a difference in many, many children's lives. That's a very special day. We hope you join us in that celebration. I want to thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Everyone have yourselves a great Eagles Day. I'll fight for it.